The word revival does not exist anywhere in the whole New Testament. There is no verse speaking of revival. And shockingly, the word revival has only been used 5 times in the Old Testament, but also not the word revival. In other words, the word revival does not exist in the Bible. But there are some scriptures in the Bible which are talking of revival, but not the word revival itself. So first of all, what is revival? Now, revival, it is something that was living, died, and is coming back to life. So when we say there's revival, it means there was no life, and life has appeared. So when you say, oh, I thought my dog died, but it seems my dog is reviving. What are you trying to talk about? What are you saying? There's life. So the word revival simply connects with life-giving. Now, the Holy Spirit, he's an expert. Wherever the Holy Spirit touches, life appears. I think I have somebody here who is getting this message right. To have a handshake with somebody full of the Holy Ghost and your life to remain the same. Because the Holy Ghost is contagious. If you have Ebola and you touch somebody, you leave Ebola with the person. Because Ebola is contagious. And the Holy Ghost is contagious more than Ebola. He can be shared right here. You can feel what I'm feeling right now. Oh, my rado sopra edigova. You see, I can stand here and I can feel something in the spirit. And I can transfer to you and you can feel the same vibrations. You can feel the same. I can feel a movement. And I can transfer to where you are. And you can actually feel a physical movement on your body. Because it is contagious. So when the Holy Spirit is in you, he is contagious. Now, being a contagious spirit, life-giving spirit, being a contagious spirit, then we need to transfer what is in us and bring life to something. That's what is called revival. Now, there are 5 types of revivals. Someone say after me, 5 types of revivals. So there are 5 types of revivals. And what are these revivals? So the first thing we must understand and talk about is, as I said before, you must understand the word revival. So as I said, there are 5 types of revivals. As I said, revival simply means something that was dead, experiencing life. You see, there was a time, or there is this common statement in Pentecostal preachers. There's revival in the city. We are praying for revival. Yet, they don't even know the meaning of revival. Revival. You see, somebody told me, he was like, oh my God, I was watching you on TV. There is a revival in Pretoria. People are so hungry for God. Oh my God. South Africa's blessed. And this is a South African preacher. And I told him, I said, okay. I said, people are hungry for the word. I said, why are they not hungry in your church? I said, it's not about the hunger that people have. It's not about what you think of revival. I said, let me tell you something. He said, speak to me. I said, listen. It's not the hunger people have for God. People are hungry worldwide. Trust you me. All they want is just show them the way. Show them the way. So I want you to understand where I'm going with my topic. Revival simply means something that died and life has come upon it. So if the city is dead spiritually, all of a sudden everybody in the city is talking about God, then there is revival in that city. Okay. It's not necessarily the spiritual only, as I said. People think revival, then when people are speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are working, then the revival. No. Actually, that's wrong. I'm going to teach you what is revival. As I said, each one of you, when you gave your life to Jesus, for you to be born again, it took the Spirit of God to come in you. You confessed with your mouth, I am accepting Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Immediately you did that, your life was transfigured. The biggest problem we have is acceptance, where you should accept that you are transfigured. Most Christians, when they get saved, they still think they are who they were before coming to Jesus. But actually, you were transfigured. Spiritually, you are changed, transformed. You have the same voice, same name, same face, but there is a difference in the spirit. What is the difference? The difference is you are born of flesh and blood, but this time around, you are born of the spirit. You are born again. You were a man without authority, but now you're a man of authority. You are born of the kingdom. Now, in your mind, you must start thinking, I have got God. You see, there are people who they don't have God. That's why when somebody's fighting me, whether in the media or anywhere else, I begin first to check them in the spirit who they are. When I see they are not saved, I stand up and say, this is a war between somebody without God and somebody with a God. I got God in my life. I have God in me. He is my king. And we are in a kingdom. And our king is Jehovah. Oh, yes. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
We are not people without God in the world. We have God as our king. So when you are saved, this knowledge must be in you. You must start seeing yourself that now I have got a king who is my father and who is my friend. He is your father. He is your friend. He is your king. He is your God. He is your everything. Begin to think like a person of the kingdom. In our kingdom, we have got angels. In our kingdom, we have got 24 elders.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdoms, there are thunders and lightnings.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdoms, we control the air.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdom, we control the oxygen.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdom, we have got power.
Oh, yes.
Power, power.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdom, demons tremble.
Hey.
In our kingdom, there is healing.
Oh, yes.
In our kingdom, there is deliverance.
Oh, yes.
The moment this information is in you of who you are and where you are, that is the transformation we are talking about, which most Christians don't have. They are born again, but they don't think in that way. They don't think in the kingdom thinking. So they keep on thinking like just a normal human being. You are not. When you are walking, you know who you are. Wherever you go, you know where. Don't behave like you're trying to please God to make God love you. He loves you. Don't behave like I wanna be so close to God. I wanna pray in this way to be so close to God. You are already in Him. He is in you. So the enemy will keep on reminding you that you're a failure. You see, God is far from you. He's not. He lives in you and you live in him. He will never abandon you. So when you have this information, the kingdom information, in our kingdom, you see, that's why when there is a sickness, you know what to do. If the enemy is trying to hit you, you know what to do because you are in a kingdom. Oh my God, I feel like I'm talking. Somewhat right. You must have that mindset. Oh my God. There is, you see, when I'm in a big problem, where I feel like right now the enemy is so strong on me, there is this in me. You see, there is this confidence in me that tells me that, you see, you are in the kingdom of God. Your king is aware of the matter.
Oh, yes.
Hey, say after me. My king is aware of my matter. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible didn't say the truth shall make you free. There's no scripture which is the truth shall set you free. It says you shall know it. Then if you shall know it, it shall now make you free. So the question is, do you know that truth? If you don't know the truth, no matter how you may say, I want the truth to make me free, it won't make you free. Because you must know the truth, and the truth that you know is what shall make you free.
Oh yes.
What is the truth that you know? I am in him, he is in me.
Oh,
what
yes.
is the truth you know? Greater is he who is in me than
yes.
he who is outside. What is the truth you know? In our kingdom, there is a king. His name is Yahweh. He rules over us. We are the sheep of his pasture.
Hey.
He's the king of glory.
Sheep.
Charlemagne, somebody. The truth you know. Now, if you don't know it, you'll be behaving like a beggar. Well, you need God's attention somehow. You'll be like, I think, no, don't behave like that. You see, you'll be praying prayers when you don't know the truth. You'll be praying prayers like you see, you'll be saying to God, oh, Father, who am I in your presence? I'm like a cockroach before you. Boy. I don't know those type of prayers. The Bible says we should approach his throne boldly. We approach his throne boldly. For we have the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry out, Abba, Father.
Oh, yes.
He is our Father.
Hey.
We talk to him. When I'm praying, I see him. And I'm talking to the Father. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Now we are in the same, we're on the same page, right? Now, let me continue now about revivals. Now, I have the word of the Lord and shout to you and you, and I just reminded who you are. And never forget who you are. Never. You see, when you see debts, problems, what? And look at yourself as a big champion. And look at the problem from the mountaintop. Say, okay. The Bible says, when they rise against the righteous, the Lord laughs.
Oh, yes.
The Bible says, when the enemy rises against the righteous, the Lord laughs, for he knows their end is near. So, the biggest secret I'm trying to bring here is you must first of all know who you are. You have the Holy Spirit, right? Now, what happened on you to have the Spirit of God on you is what is called revival. There is a revival on you. Something touched you that it has made you to be here. And what touched you? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, nobody comes to me. This is Jesus. Nobody comes to me except the Father calls them. So you wouldn't be here if the Father in heaven did not make the executive decision. It took an executive order.
Oh, yes.
Marada sure di
kopa adusha. I receive.
There was an executive order in the throne room where the King of Glory, he mentioned your name that you must be here tonight.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Holy Spirit was instructed, go and rub that person. You were rubbed on. The Holy Spirit began to speak to you. Go to church right now. Don't take it for granted. When you keep on coming to church, don't take it for granted. Because some were in church also before, but they are not with us. What is keeping you here is the Holy Ghost. Never forget that. Never. Never forget it. So when the Holy Ghost is in a person, he brings five kinds of revivals. Number one, financial revival. Some say financial revival. You see, you can have the whole city, everybody jumping with the Bible, Rabba, Sora, Deke, Pranika, everyone. But if there's no financial revival, watch for that city. 3 years or 5 years later, what was called revival, they want to be revival, and it becomes a history. Because they did not know and understand what is revival. Revival comes in fivefold. The first way revival comes before any other revival is financial revival. I can foresee a financial revival in this church. Now, when we say revival, when we say in the city there is revival, we mean everybody. If we say there's a spiritual revival, we mean that city, almost everybody is full of the Holy Ghost. When we say financial revival, we mean everybody. He is full of finances.
Yes.
You have never seen a revival that is about to envelop this church.
I receive.
It's a revival.
Revival.
You need a financial revival. I'll show you just now. Joel chapter 2, from verse 21. All right? Now I want you to see this secret. Okay, let's go to verse 28 first. Okay? Verse 28 first. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What a revival. That's a revival. When you say revival, it's not only on one person. It says on all flesh. He will pour his spirit on all flesh. What's going to happen? It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Is that not a revival? It's a revival. But I got a problem right here. Before that revival, the Bible says afterward. Afterward. Now go back to the scripture. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Does a statement start like that? If you meet a person, he greets you, then he says, and it shall come afterward. Does that make sense to you? After what? There's a question in there. After what? So that scripture is telling you that there are scriptures prior to that scripture. That God will only do the pouring of the Spirit after what is not mentioned has happened. Now, from verse 21, the Bible is explaining what will happen first. The first revival that he's going to put upon the church. When he has put this revival upon the church, then he will pour his Spirit of prophecy. People begin to prophesy. People begin to see visions. But before this, there will be the first revival, which is the financial revival, which is from verse 21. Now, go to verse 21. Now, from verse 21, it says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do great things. Araba supradika. Marate soparako.
See,
the Lord will do.
Preach, daddy.
The word is prophesying right here.
Oh, yes.
The Lord is going to do great
things.
Do you know what's a great thing? The Lord will do great things. What are these great things?
Tell us that.
I want somebody in this room tonight.
Oh, yes.
For the first time ever.
Oh, yes.
The Lord must perform a great thing.
Oh, yes.
Now, watch the scripture. The word of the Lord says what? Fear not. If you are passing through any situation, fear not. If somebody is giving you stress, fear not. For the Lord shall do
great things.
He shall do great
things.
Barabarakatuya rakabe rado sopra garitos.
Major, 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 major. Please, daddy.
Get by the scripture. It says, fear not. Fear not. I don't care what you heard.
Oh, yes.
I don't care what the doctor told you.
Oh, yes.
Fear not. For the Lord shall do great things. Verse 22. Sit down. Verse 22. What the Bible saying? Verse 22. The Bible says what? Be not afraid. You beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Wait. You didn't hear that one. It says, even just you beasts of the field. You see, the prophet Joel is addressing the people of Israel as beasts of the field. Beasts of the field is livestock. He says, don't worry. You will not lack pasture. If you want anything from the desert, the Lord will bring forth pasture. He'll bring forth food in the desert. Meaning, where there cannot be food, food shall appear. You didn't hear this. Where there was no blessings, a blessing shall appear.
Oh, yes, daddy.
Where there was no way,
oh, yes,
a way shall appear.
Oh, yes.
Now watch this. Watch. This is not spiritual revival. I'm going to show you just now. Verse 23, NIV. Verse 23, NIV. In NIV of 23, the Bible says, be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. Wait, that has nothing to do with your spiritual tongues or anything. He's telling you that there'll be rain. Listen, when God is saying he will send rain, he's dealing with something here. I'll give you pasture. I'll give you food, crops, they will grow in the land. But he's telling you the source. So the source of the fields to grow, it is what? Rain. So I will not just give you food, but I'll give you the source of the food. What is the source of the food? Rain. Imagine if that verse was written in the 21st century where we are. I will give you contracts. I'll give you tenders. No, you are not understanding.
I receive, Daddy.
Let's watch this. Now, let me continue. You'll be shocked. Just a few verses from there, you'll be shocked. Now, it says, I will give you source. I will give you what? Rain. For the sake of the fields. It says, I will do it. Now, go back to the scripture. Now, go back to the verse. Now, go verse 24. I like 24. It says what? The threshing floors will be filled with grain. Imagine if that scripture was written in the 21st century. Do you know what that is? It's a storehouse. In those days, they were keeping money in commodities. So a rich person was the one with commodities. Do you understand? Their money was their grain, wheat. Until today, wheat is the most expensive commodity. If they can try to supply wheat in a country, you're gone. Now, God is dealing with the storehouse. He says your storehouse will be filled with what? With grain. But our sanctuary, we don't deal with wheat. We deal with the money.
Yes.
Now wait. Our storehouses of money are banks.
Oh yes.
So that scripture could read your bank accounts.
Oh yes, Daddy.
You are not understanding.
Major. Daddy.
That scripture could read your bank accounts will be filled with. Just sit down for a moment. Someone said financial revival.
Financial revival.